Welcome into Time Out with Taylor Rooks, now on the SNY.TV Audio Network. It has been a while since we last spoke, but it feels good to be back. Today's guest is Rudy Gay, and he has had a very busy summer. He was a big target in free agency. He just recently left the Kings and is now with the San Antonio Spurs, but he took a little break from all that to host his own tournament classic in Baltimore. And that's where I caught up with him for this podcast. He talks a lot about the city and how people shouldn't let that negative stereotype of Baltimore cloud what the city truly has to offer. He discusses how he battled back from injury and how now his number one goal is a championship. He also discusses, or I guess doesn't discuss, what went down with Oklahoma City Thunder. It was very interesting stuff there. So be sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes and SoundCloud by searching Time Out with Taylor Rooks. But for now, here's Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay, it is so very exciting to be in Baltimore. It's my first time here.
First time in Baltimore?
Yes.
Will it be your last? Because I've heard a lot of people say it'll be the first in their last.
No, and the reason I say that is because I'm extremely excited to try that Jimmy's Seafood Place.
Oh, yeah. That's my spot.
Yeah,
that's
so if I eat something and I like it, I will come back just for a restaurant. I'm dead serious. I love food that much.
Are they paying you?
To go to Jimmy's? I haven't even tried it yet.
For the drop.
But hey, I'll totally take the sponsorship from Jimmy's if it's that good. Is it that good?
It is. Okay. That's like, that's my cheers.
Really?
Yeah, everybody knows my name.
Okay, what's the go-to thing to eat there?
I usually seafood ecstasy.
What's in that?
It's like a pasta that has like a bunch of seafood in it. I actually have a roll.
A Rudy Gay roll?
Yeah, no, it's not a roll. I'm friends with the owner, so like, and he's also actually a cook too. So like, he's like, I got you. He made this one dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I gotta get that every time.
Really? Okay, what is it? What can
it's
compiled
a secret.
In the?
It's a secret. It's actually trademarked.
Top secret information.
Yes.
Can you cook?
Can I? No.
So you only go there for the food. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So the thing with Baltimore, and I think I would definitely want to get into this because I know it's one of the reasons you are having this event here,
right.
Is, you know, when I'm telling people what I'm doing this week, that I'm going up to Baltimore, everyone's like, wait, you're going where? Like, it has such a negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way?
I do feel that way. Me, basically, because I've been, you know, around the country, been around the world, and, you know, when I say I'm from Baltimore, everybody just has something negative to say about it, you know, whether it's The Wire or, you know, or Freddie Gray or, you know, or the protesting. But the city has a lot more to offer. It has a lot of talent, a lot of great people. And, you know, I think every city has their bad parts, some worse than others. But, you know, I think it's time to show the city in a different light.
Now, why do you think that in a place like this? Because, you know, there are bad areas in every single city, every single state that you're going to go to.
Right.
But why do you think here it seems like those things overshadow everything else?
I just think it's the mentality, the Baltimore mentality. It's, you know, we're known for our crabs, they say, but, you know, we all like crabs in a barrel. In society, I think, you know, and it's everywhere, but I think it's more prevalent here. I think this is a city that needs to change, you know, from man to man, woman to woman. I think it starts with yourself. You gotta look in the mirror. Instead of pushing us, you know, each other to be successful, I think we're more envious because of our situation. But then that has to change, you know. I think everybody has to look in the mirror and see what they can do for themselves, make themselves better. And it's an easy change, but, you know, it takes time.
Where do you feel like you find that, or where were you able to find that being from here? Why was it different for you, do you think?
Why was it different? It's just, you know, I guess I grew up different. I grew up in my family. I had a blue-collar family on one side. And, you know, the side I was closest to, I had a blue-collar family. The other side was, you know, a little different, but also pretty much a blue-collar side. But, you know, I saw it. I saw hard work. And I always had the mentality of, and even more than hard work, I always listened. I got around the right people, and they pushed me in the right direction.
Now, obviously, there's more to Baltimore than The Wire, but right. I do want to talk about that show for a second. It is my absolute favorite show on earth.
No, I never watched it.
Really? Like, I watched now, is there a reason why?
I think it was because of that. It was like, yeah. You know, you. I don't know. I'm picky. Like, it's a Baltimore show, and it's supposed to be set in Baltimore, so if somebody's accent ain't right, I'd be like, no, I ain't watching it.
Wait, you know, can we talk about how great Baltimore accents are, though?
Yeah, it's different.
Like, there's this lady on the show named Snoop, and, like, she says, two, like,
oh, man.
Two, how do you, say
Snoop, two.
Yeah.
Two.
It's the best accent
I lost it for
ever.
A little bit. When I come home, and I get.
Oh, my God, you got to get it back. Or they say, like, of us.
Of.
Yeah. Of us.
Mother,
what's
mother,
Mo?
Father.
Yeah,
father.
I'm like, if I could have just like one accent that I can turn on and off,
yeah.
It'd be the Baltimore accent. But with The Wire, I think that is a big reason why people view Baltimore that way. Because it's the most famous show about this city, and people also like immediately think of The Wire when you say the word Baltimore.
It was crazy. I've been in other countries and seen it like in Spanish. Like,
no way.
Like The Wire. Like,
oh, yeah.
Subtitles and stuff. I'm like, man, this is crazy. This is big. But it was just, I didn't, you know. Those stories and stuff, I mean, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like the Baltimore is a city that if you're into that mess, you'll be subject to it. You know, I personally wasn't into it, so I can't tell you about that. Well, I could tell you about it, but I can't tell you my experiences in that life, you know? So that's part of the reasons why it wasn't really that appealing to me.
Have you been personally affected by a lot of the things that people, you know, associate Baltimore with?
I feel like everybody somewhat has a family member that is subject to it. By that, I do mean drugs. Drugs is big here. I think I'm hoping it's not like it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when I was coming up, drugs was big, and it affected a lot of my friends, myself. You know, and it's And it's a shame for kids to have to grow up like that. But, you know, this is a tough city, and you have to be even tougher to get out of here.
Yeah. Tell me some of the amazing things about Baltimore besides Jimmy's Seafood.
Besides family, seafood, the Ravens, of course.
Boo!
The Ravens, of course. And what else? It's a lot, man. It's just a culture.
Yeah.
It's a culture.
And the food. Do you guys do like carry out here, or is that like a DMV thing?
We do. It's definitely, we do carry out.
Like Mumbo Sauce, that's Baltimore too.
That's, no, that's
okay.
DC. No,
that's DC.
That. Nah, I never even tasted Mumbo Sauce, to be honest with you.
Really?
I don't listen to go-go.
Everybody gets okay, that. I love go-go music though. I really do.
You know, I mean, well,
so what's different than mine. What's the Baltimore sound? Like, what's y'all's thing?
For a long time, it was the club music, the like half. The fast pitch, you know, go-go. Well, not go-go. What am I talking about?
It's because you secretly like
Baltimore.
It.
No, I never. I never like go-go. This is the club music, Baltimore club music. We had a couple rappers come up. Well, Drew Hill. It's another good thing.
Yes, that is a very good
Drew
thing.
Hill.
Yes.
Yeah, we definitely are proud of them.
Beauty is an amazing song.
That is.
Top five, probably. So how far is Baltimore from like the DMV area? I kind of get confused.
We can get to DC, like depending upon what part, from downtown Baltimore to DC, probably about 35 minutes.
Okay, so not bad. Traffic here is really bad though.
That's DC.
Well, here it isn't bad.
I mean, it's traffic, but DC is like, it's like New York.
Okay. Okay.
I hate driving to DC.
Yeah, I can't imagine
I hate
either.
DC. It's like you got like southwest, southeast, and like it's two. You have a street on southeast and the same exact street on southwest.
So there's like, no.
Like you'd be like, oh, I'm here. Like, oh, you on southwest. You'd be 30 minutes
now,
away.
Now, I read this once, and listen, I don't know if it's true. I just read this before. So when they started building the city, like, of D.C.,
mm-hmm.
they built it in a confusing way so that, like, invaders didn't know their way around.
Yeah, it worked. So
Yeah, so now,
it kind of backfired
because now just people that are Americans don't know their way around DC.
I'm not trying to invade DC at all, man. I just want to get to where I want to
They didn't want people to come to the U.S. and really know. They wouldn't have that advantage of knowing what this city was like.
Yeah.
But now nobody that lives there actually knows what it's like.
Yes. I hope, man.
You guys also, though, have had a lot of good athletes come out of this area.
Right.
Tell me about some of those guys.
The Baltimore Boys 30 for 30 just came out.
And it was amazing.
I didn't even see it yet, but I know it was amazing.
I tweeted it.
I was looking out for my people, man.
You can still support. You can still support. You don't have to have seen it. He's trying to call you out over there.
I really called myself out. Yeah, I mean, those people obviously paved the way.
Yeah.
People like Sam Cassell paved the way. People like Juan Dixon paved the way. People like Mello for myself, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's a lot of people come out of this little city in Maryland.
Yeah. Do you guys kind of feel like you have like a brotherhood, knowing you're all from this place?
Yeah, and the thing about it is we all get together and talk, and nobody else knows what the hell we're talking about.
Because the accent, because the two.
Right.
I love that. I mean, that's one thing I think is very unique about this area is really the sports. I think that everybody kind of feels like, you know, we're from this part. We need to stick together. We need to support each other.
Right.
And I think that's definitely amazing. Team Mello is actually playing in this tournament, right?
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be complete without Team Mello.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, another Baltimore guy, and you know, I couldn't have a tournament without having a fellow Baltimore guy being a part of it.
That is very true. So, of course, I know now you are healthy. I saw you putting up some shots.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. Going through an injury like I had, it really puts, you know, it was like blatant. Like you have to, you know, get your stuff together because it could be over at any point. You know, thank God I've been able to be resilient and be able to come back like I did and feel like I do now. But, you know, next time it may not happen. So, you know, I'm just working as hard as I can, being the best player I can be and trying to reach my potential.
What is that initial feeling? Like, you're on the court, you feel something, you're like, okay, I know something is not right.
Right. What goes to your mind is you think about the 10,000 of things that it could be besides what it actually is.
Yeah.
You know, and when it happened, I heard this, like I heard, felt, and I actually heard somebody say something about what they heard about my Achilles. So I'm like,
really?
So how that works is, because you probably lost. So, you know, obviously I felt and heard a pop.
Okay.
And I actually heard somebody on, like, it was right by the opposing team's bench. They were like, oh, I heard that. That's his Achilles.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, and as loud as the stadium is, I hear somebody from the bench say, oh, that's his Achilles. And so I'm like, man, it has to be my Achilles. I'm looking behind.
You didn't care who said it. They were a doctor in that moment. They knew it was like.
And the initial feeling is like something like tripped you or something hit you in the back of the calf muscle. So I'm looking behind me, see who possibly could hit me. And I saw nobody was there. And then I heard that. I was like, let me just lay here for a second.
So it's interesting you say that because whenever I ask people about injuries, they suffer. Like I had Lou Williams on the podcast, talked about his injury.
Right.
Nobody says that pain is the...
No. It's just at that point, you don't even feel pain. It's just like, damn.
Yeah, like what just happened?
Damn.
How long will I be out?
Right. It's not even about the pain. Because, you know, what you people out there don't know is that we play through a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things you guys don't hear about, some you hear about, some Tony Allen tweets about.
Oh, the grit and the grind?
That's another story, but, you know, that's my man, though. But anyway, you know, but we play through a lot. So pain is nothing. Pain is something we have to deal with, but it's something you can't deal with. And that was one of those things. You know, I couldn't even walk, so.
Do people underestimate, like, the mental aspects of coming back from injury? Like, sometimes if someone tears their ACL in football, they never want to cut again.
Right.
You know, because you think next time you do it, that's going to happen again. Are you over that barrier?
Yeah. And that was tough for me because I'm known as a jumper. So, you know, to injure the leg that I jump off of. you know, it was tough for me to get to that point. That might have been the toughest thing. As far as the pain, I could deal with. You know, rehab, I could deal with. It's just, you know, teaching yourself that, you know, you're healthy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that foot. You can go ahead and do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're going to be San Antonio Spur.
Yeah.
Is that weird to hear?
It's super weird. I hate the Spurs.
Like, I can't really even envision you in the uniform, honestly.
New uniforms today?
Nike. A big, yeah, I'm sure Nike know how to do it.
Is it going to be weird to put it on?
It is. They've been rivals for so long. I mean, playing Memphis, you know, everybody, you just hated the Spurs because, you know, they were good, one.
Yeah.
And two, they just were like a machine. Be a part of that machine. I mean, you think of, everybody thinks of Pop as like a basketball guy. Well, at least the people that actually know about basketball. And for him, you know, actually reach out and want you to play on his team, I take it as an honor. So,
yeah.
You know, even being a pro, like, you know, a lot of pros are like, well, this and that, this and that. I actually am a student of the game, and I respect the people that have been successful in it. So, you know. It's just an opportunity I wanted to jump on. I mean, I had other offers, and I had other bigger offers. It was just more one of those things that, you know, it's, at this point in my career, what's the point in scoring a bunch of buckets and, you know, being this and that, if nobody sees it?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm confident in my skills. I feel like I can play anywhere and be successful anywhere. So, you know, I might as well play with some players that feel like I do.
Yeah, and I know, you know, in a way, and I think you may have said something like this, you ultimately chose, you know, winning and happiness over money.
Yeah.
How difficult was that?
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say money ain't everything.
Yeah. Because it kind of is, yeah.
You hate to say it, but, you know, it makes a lot of things better. But at this point, you know, like I said, I was in Sacramento for 3 years, and I felt like I had some great years, I had some bad years, but the happiness wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it just you just feel like you give me your all, and nothing comes out of it. And that's, you know, it's not just, you know, on the court, you know, it's up top and everything. You want to be with people that are all on the same page, and. You know, San Antonio has been traditionally like that. So,
yeah.
I wasn't, you know, it was a short shot for me. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go to this organization and they might be better, or this organization and they could have this better and that needs work. I'm going to go where I know I'll be taken care of. And,
right.
That was San Antonio.
And I feel like as a competitor, like, because what, you are 11-year NBA vet?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. And this is going to sting, but you've been to postseason only once, right?
Only once. Well, twice, but I got hurt the first year.
Yeah, in the first year. So, I mean, how often do you think about, like, been in this league for so long?
Exactly. I put so much work in and done so much and given so much of my body up, you know, like surgeries and time and missing this and missing that. You want to be known for your hard work. You know, you want to be seen. You want people to know you as a winner. And I was tired of getting that knock as a guy that can just go out there and get you 20 points but can't get you a win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's a tough knock because, I mean, not too many people in the world can win a game by themselves.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is, and I understand that. And, you know, the whole league is about parity now, so I'm just trying to get with some winners like everybody else.
Is it? Ain't much parity in the league.
Yeah, so don't hate on me for taking less money.
I think it is a Spurs. They are the model of consistency.
Right.
But one of the things I think about Pop, obviously he's one of the greatest basketball minds, but I think it's amazing how socially conscious he is. Like, I would want to play for him just off the fact that he seems like a very aware individual, and I don't think that there's a lot of awareness
right
now in the world. So that's what makes him one of my favorites. Like, do you enjoy the conversations you've had with him?
I mean, yeah, so far, I mean, in the beginning, it's mostly about basketball.
Yeah.
But I've heard, you know, him be, you know, obviously I watch basketball. I'm a part of it. So I know that he's very vocal with certain situations. And it's good. I mean, how can you be a leader of a team if you can't even voice your opinion and mm-hmm. people don't see you voice your opinion? So you know, I commend them for that. I've been around a lot of coaches, and I haven't seen many, like, obviously, like Pop, but many on the other side that are confident enough to voice their opinion.
So, obviously, you are a Spur, but I've always wondered this. So, Enes Kanter thought you were going to be on the Thunder. Why is that? Why did he think you were going to be on his team?
Can I say that? Can I tell him what happened? Probably not. I won't get into it.
But, okay.
I'm glad y'all are here. But I'm a, honestly, it was.
We've been blocked.
Yeah. So let's just say I was very flattered about the fact of playing with Russ and Paul.
Okay. And then of course there was the locker, and he's like, "Oh my God, he's here!" And Twitter went crazy. Social media is such like a, it fuels every single thing on earth. So, I get it.
You get it. I mean, it. You know, it was.
We're not cool enough for the secret, guys.
No, y'all cool. It's just.
I'm joking.
Yeah, it's better left unsaid. I mean, it's a lot that went along with that. But you know, I ended up being in the right place. So.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, all due respect to the Thunder family. I felt like I ended up where I needed to be.
I would say so. Okay, you ready for some Twitter questions?
Let's hear it.
Okay. I actually have a question. This isn't on Twitter. I saw, like, a video of your sneaker closet. And very impressive.
I'm a hoarder.
How many do you have?
I don't even know. It's...
Like, it definitely over, like, 700. Right?
Oh, it's way beyond that. At one point, I got to a point during the summer, I'd work out in a pair of shoes and just throw them away.
Really?
Because I couldn't fit. I still have problems with fitting on my shoes. Somebody told me I should put them in storage. I'm like, why would you have a pair of shoes
in
short storage? Like, there's no point in that.
Okay, give me a ballpark estimate of how many shoes you have.
It's
a huge number.
It's over a thousand. I have over 1,000 pairs.
Yeah, because he has multiple in multiple cities.
Must be nice. Multiple shoes in multiple cities.
Yeah,
area code shoes.
Summer shoes, you need those.
No, summer shoes are a real thing. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Winter, you know.
Yeah. So it's a lot.
It's a lot.
All right. Well, that was my question.
Spring.
All right.
And you've got the dress shoes.
Yes,
like boots, designer shoes, you know, because then there's athletic.
You're making me sound crazy.
Crocs.
Crocs.
Birkenstocks. I got those too.
You got a lot of shoes.
Husky.
Husky.
And
then you
gotta
have a pair
of Tims.
Oh, of course. You got the Tims.
As soon as you get a stain on them, you're like, man, they're done.
New pair. All right.
When Air Force Ones was out, it was over. It was a breeze. I had about
20.
I had 10 pair of them just sitting. I might still have those too.
All right, Twitter question number one. Coming out of Baltimore, how did Melo's success motivate and inspire you to know the dudes from that city could make it out?
Melo blew up so fast. It was like, damn, it was like, you know, it was like, damn, how did he do that? I was more intrigued with how he did it than the fact that he was who he was at that point. You know, it was great to see it. You know, the city was buzzing. Everybody's behind him. And, you know, after winning the championship with Syracuse, it was like, you know, he's going to have a great career, and he has. So, I mean, he's somebody I still look up to.
All right. Where do you think your season is going this year statistically?
I don't like to talk about, you know, my personal thing. You know, I'm just go out there and just play as hard as I can. Whatever statistics come out of that, it is what it is. But, you know, I think the ultimate challenge is to beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
You
know, that's everyone's challenge.
Everyone's challenge. That's what everybody's, that's what all this parody is about, I'm guessing.
What part of Baltimore are you from, this person?
East Baltimore. Actually, I'm from around here. It's like on the city-county line.
Okay. All right. This guy says, how was your time in Sacramento, and do you have any regrets while there?
My time in Sacramento, I think everybody knew how my time in Sacramento was. It was testy, but you know, and I think, but the thing about it, the biggest thing I got out of Sacramento was just mental toughness. Obviously, I was there when a lot of stuff was going on, and I regret the fact that I could, you know, just focus on trying to be great the whole time. Mm-hmm. I became a product of what was going on at times, and that wasn't fair to the team, it wasn't fair to the fans, it wasn't fair to the organization for whatever that's worth. But you know, if I would do it again, you know, I would definitely not let the situations affect me.
Okay. All right, and last, because I know you have to get to your event, what advice would you give to a kid in Baltimore trying to make it to the league?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Go to college, get your master's, and do something with the world, man. Basketball, you know. Vince Carter's 40. I mean, he's old playing basketball.
Right.
So think about how much more life he has. Mm-hmm. You know, always worry about trying to become something, you know, mentally before you can do it physically.
Yeah. And do you think that's an issue that, like, some kids think, okay, well, the best way to get out is just to play sports, when really there's so many other things that you could do?
I think it's society, not to be too much of an activist. I think sometimes society is, people feel like that's the easier way for them. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I feel like it's people are more willing to come see, you know, somebody like us play basketball, mm-hmm, rather than speak at an engagement.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Right.
But, you know, that should motivate people. I mean, basketball has been great to me. I'm not going to lie. I've been all over the world, done a lot of great things. And one thing I regret about college is not staying 4 years, mm-hmm, to be honest with you.
In good old Stores?
Yeah. Stores.
Do you still follow them a lot?
I do.
Yeah.
Coach Ali is one of my friends.
Yeah.
Kevin Freeman, he was like my mentor when, mm-hmm, I was there. He played with the championship team at Rip. And I still talk to him also.
Yeah. Well, good. Rudy, you are a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank
I'll
you
get
coming.
Your state secrets out of you next time. All right. So just for the record, I went to Jimmy's Seafood. I got the crab cake. It tasted amazing. So if you are ever in Baltimore, go there and try it. But besides the spectacular seafood, my biggest takeaway from interviewing Rudy Gay, I would say it was his decision to leave the Kings. I think that it takes a lot to decide that you care more about winning than money. And it's a decision that I don't think most people would make if they were put in that position. I think it showed that he's a real competitor. And on top of that, he's clearly someone who cares about where he's going and also where he came from. I mean, the kids at this tournament loved him. And he put so much into making it an amazing event for the city. So that was great, but seriously, try the crab cake. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, and leave a review. I'm Taylor Rooks. Until the next time.